I'm trying something I've never done before. And that's preached from notes off of my computer. So this is going to be interesting, to say the least. All right. Well, as it's spooling up, let's go ahead and let's go to the Lord in prayer, asking Him to touch us this morning. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, Your kindness, Your love, Your gentleness, Your mercy. We ask, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would just flood our hearts with Your love and with Your compassion, with Your purpose, Your guidance, and Your direction, Lord, that we can hear from You and know that when we left this place, or when we leave this place today, that we can say, surely we were with the Lord. We ask, Lord, that You would help us all to hear from You, to bless You, to guide and direct You into our lives so that You can guide and direct us into this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Something must be happening. My computer's singing to me. That's always a good sign. You know, I thought about this. I thought, what happens if I get there and my computer croaks? And all my notes. Okay, enough of that. All my notes go with it. Then I'll have to just preach the old-fashioned way. Straight out of the Bible. Isn't that incredible? And with this new technology, I did have a PowerPoint illustration to help us with this. And it's all looking good now, so I think we're good. It's up. We're ready. Praise God. Today, we're going to talk and listen and hear from God. I'm going to speak about the anointing. And some of us, we may have heard several things about anointing, this and that. But I'm going to give just a kind of a basic premise of what anointing is. And then we're going to kind of dive into the application of anointing according to what God's Word is and what it says. And we're going to focus mostly upon David this morning, okay? So before we get started, though, let's just talk about anointing itself. And some of you may not even know what that means. Anointing. This is according to the wonderful Wikipedia definition. But it sounded pretty good, so this is what they say. To anoint is to pour or smear with perfumed oil, milk, water, melted butter. Ooh, that would be nice. Come home today. Say, what happened to you? What's all that yellow, greasy stuff? Oh, well, they anointed me with butter. Oh, you sure it's not margarine? No, it's butter. It's butter, real butter. All right. A little bit of pancakes and syrup, and we'll have breakfast. But melted butter. Or other substances, I guess Crisco, I don't know. Some people may do that. But this is just in the general sense, a process employed ritually by many religions. People and things are anointed to symbolize the introduction of a sacramental or divine influence, a holy emanation, spirit, power, or God, little g. It can also be seen as a spiritual mode of ridding persons and things of dangerous influences, as of demons or other things believed to be or to cause disease. Okay. According to the Jewish Bible, whenever someone was anointed with a specific holy anointing oil formula, and a ceremony described in Exodus, the Spirit of God came upon this person to qualify him or her for a God-given task. And that's what we're going to be focusing on mostly today. The anointing oil, according to Exodus, the primary purpose of anointing with the holy anointing oil was to cause the anointed person or objects to become Hakadesh, or most holy. Originally, the oil was used exclusively for the priesthood and the tabernacle articles, and was later extended to include prophets and kings. It was forbidden to be used on an outsider or to be used as an emollient on the body of any common persons. And the children of Israel were forbidden to duplicate any like it for themselves. So the oil was prized. It was not just something to be taken lightly. It wasn't something that you just make up like a bunch of brownies, okay? You can't just say, well, we're going to make some brownies, you know? You can make brownies, but back then you couldn't say, we're just going to make some anointing oil. And we're just going to whip it up. And you may say, well, what did that oil consist of? Well, in Exodus, it's described, they say chapter 30, verse 22 through 25, kind of tells what it was like. And the first ingredient that they used was pure myrrh. And myrrh, since ancient times, has been valued as a fragrance. It's interesting how they get it, though. Myrrh is a dried oleogum resin. Okay, so it's kind of a powder, but it comes from a resin from a number of trees, the camphora tree. Okay, and there's a nice little example right there for you, and its species. Like frankincense, it is produced by trees as a reaction to a purposeful wound through the bark and into the sap. These trees are bled in this way on a regular basis. The related Camphora gileadis, native to the Israel area, Palestine, Jordan area, is a biblical reference for the balm of Gilead. And a balm is a healing agent. So if you really kind of deep down inside and you look at myrrh, myrrh was a fragrant sap that was dried, but it was used also as a healing agent. So it is a balm, or the balm of Gilead, is some of the references. And some of y'all may even know some of the songs that we used to sing. The balm of Gilead, and that's what they're talking about. They're talking about the camphora tree, okay? So on that, you will have about 6 grams. 6 grams of myrrh. Add to that some sweet cinnamon, about 6 grams of sweet cinnamon, okay? Then you have sweet calamus, which is about 3 grams of sweet calamus. Then cassia, about 6 grams of cassia. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. I'm sure it's probably pronounced differently in different parts of the world, like the place where it comes from. Cassia is also known as Chinese cinnamon. It is found in Asia, South Asia specifically, and is known around most parts. It is sold as cinnamon. And when they first brought it over to Europe, a lot of people thought it was cinnamon. So again, it's a cinnamon type thing. And if you notice that there's already cinnamon in it, so that even adds more of a perfumey cinnamon thing. And of course, the base, we want to use 5 quarts, just like you would of good old motor oil, 5 quarts of olive oil. Okay, so that kind of completes the ingredients. And you can see there the bottle that I have illustrated, kind of a reflection of what it actually may have kind of looked like, you know, because a lot of these are herbs and sap and things that are put into this olive oil and stirred around and shaken. And you know what happens if you leave anything organic for very long? What happens to it? It starts to what? Spoil. It will. It'll start to spoil. It'll start to turn rancid. So it's important that this ingredient is made and that continue to keep that oil fresh. Okay? It's important that we keep it fresh. Now, I say though that because it is the oil and the anointing is very representative of the Spirit of God. If you look in the Holy of Holies and they have this lampstand, and the lampstand they have 12 representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And each one has, on the lampstand, there is an almond shell. And within those almond shells, as I think I may have described here before, there is oil. And the oil is lit. And the oil represents the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And so as you have this Spirit of God, the anointing, they use it to anoint the priests. They use it to anoint the things within the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. And then later on, God started saying, let's go out. We want to anoint kings. And they were desperate for a king. We need a king. We need a king. And they came about and they said, well, you know, you need to wait upon God. And they said, the people said, no, we want a king. We want a king now. And so they finally got somebody and they brought him up and his name was Saul. And they went ahead and they anointed Saul. Now, how many of y'all know if you anoint just the fact that you have oil and that you just lay your hands on it and smear it over whatever object or person or thing it is that you're anointing doesn't really mean anything unless God's behind it. You know what I mean? It's like having a charge card that doesn't have any charging power. You may have a card and it may look like a card and it may say American Express. But American Express, you may know them, but they may not know you. And unless they know you, you have no power. Same thing with God. Unless you don't know God, you know, you may know who God is, but if God doesn't know you, then you don't have the power. Well, today, that anointing, that oil, it's kind of important that it has a fragrance. Because God not only can supply the fire as the oil supplies the fuel for the fire, for the flame, but it's also a pleasant smelling aroma. And some of you, the only way I can kind of explain it to you is going to a store like Macy's. How many of y'all have ever been to Macy's? A few of y'all? Okay. My wife and I went to Macy's just the other day over there in our area. And so we're walking through into the front of Macy's. And as we walk in, what is the first thing you notice in Macy's? You have the lights, you have the sound, but it's the aroma. You can smell, because right when you first walk in, if you walk on the inside from the end and you go on in, you're right there in the perfume area. And some of you may be old enough to remember the days when they would, pss, 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 pss. You'd walk in and they'd hey, Giorgio perfume. No, get this stuff away from me, you know, and there's like, they, no, come try my polo, it's great, you know, and they douse you with these perfumes, and they got, it was very offensive, especially to people with allergies, and they got sued, and then they were told to stop doing that, okay, but now they have just the perfume areas, and people are always testing them, and so when you walk into Macy's, you're like, wow, It kind of smells good. You know, it's kind of nice being here. It's a lot better being here than it is a city dump. City dump doesn't smell too good, does it? How many of you have ever been to the dump down here as you go to Victoria and turn to the left? My girls have been to the dump. Because when we moved, we had to take some items to the dump. And they were like, "Oh yeah, Daddy, we want to go to the dump. We want to go to the dump." I said, "You sure you want to go to the dump?" "Yeah, we want to go. We want to see the dump." "All right." And so we took them to the dump. And as we pulled into the dump, they're like, "It stinks." I said, "Yeah." I said, "See all those garbage trucks up there? Like the ones that go in front of our house? Guess what they're dumping? All of the garbage. You know, Victoria, Port Lavaca, Calhoun County." I said, "We're this is the dump. That's what it is. It's a landfill." "No, okay. Y'all want to get out?" "No." I said, "Y'all are no help. I'm not paying y'all." But it doesn't smell too good. It's kind of offensive. Don't want to be there, but the anointing oil, that cinnamon, that myrrh, cassia, the fragrance, representing the gentleness, the beauty, the joy of God. This morning I went about and my girls helped and we anointed the end of each aisle with oil. And we prayed, "God, you speak to us today. Touch our hearts with the things that touch your heart." I went over to the door and I put an anointing oil over the arches of both doors. And I said, "God, today, this time, let us hear from you. Anoint every person that comes through these doors. Strip away the world and the cares and the things of this world that would try to distract us and keep us from you. And help us to hear from you. Help us to know your love, your goodness, your grace. Help me, Lord. Anoint my lips. Anoint my mind. Anoint my ears that I can hear your voice in the Spirit. That I would know what to say and what to do. Go back. There. Whoa. Push play. All right. Ooh. I have help. David, anointed king, if we go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11. And Samuel said to Jesse, he said, "Are these all of the children that you have?" Because each and every one of Jesse's sons stood before him as God commanded, and he was going to anoint a new king, the king of Israel. And as they came by, every one of them, handsome, strong, intelligent, talented, he stood and he, "No, not him, not him. Bring another one. Yeah. No, not him. Bring another one. Yes, this could be, this is. No, not him. No. Jesse! Do you have any more children?" And Jesse looked at him. He said, "Well, I have David. He's out tending the sheep." "Bring David here. Bring him here now." And so they brought David before the prophet. Down at the end of verse 12, arise. It says, anoint him, for this is he. Now let me tell you something. God speaks, you better listen, you better do it. Don't wait, do it right then, right there. So Samuel knew, I knew, is what he said. I had to do what I had to do. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Saul rose and went to Ramah. The Spirit of God came upon him mightily. And the reason why they didn't think much of it, if you look at the picture up there, kind of illustrates what was going on. All these young men coming up there looking good, talented, athletic. And they kept passing by, passing by, passing by. But when the last one passed, he knew something was wrong. The prophet says, no. Samuel says, something is wrong. Do you have more children? Bring him here. And he saw David. David's just a young boy. And he anointed him with oil. And you see up there how he's pouring the oil. You know, we've kind of refined the process here in modern days, technology and all. We don't like walking out of church with a bunch of oil dripping off our heads and our clothes. So here's our bottle of oil. It's a little different than what they have up there. We didn't pour that much on these chairs, I can guarantee you that. We've refined it. Oh Lord, bless it. They poured that oil. And I've seen ministers do that. Well, we've had anointing services and a minister take the oil and literally pour it over someone's head and it's just dripping down. And that's the way the Hebrews did things. So David was anointed, but it wasn't just a bathing in oil. It wasn't just a laying on of hands. It was an obedience to God. He was obedient. Samuel was to listening to what God wanted him to do. And anointing David king over all Israel. You say, well, why was David anointed king instead of all his brothers? If you go down to verse 16, chapter 16, verse 7. Or starting. Actually, let's start back at 6. Back it up. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as a man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that is going to be the key verse for this morning. Man looks on the outward appearance and how things look on the outward and the talent and the ability and the resources, maybe even the family that person came from or the area of town they live in. Or their socioeconomic status. But God looks upon the heart. Let me illustrate that. Kind of put it in terms that we can understand. Let's just say, for instance, that you have a lawn that needs mowed. And you decided you wanted somebody to come mow it. So you made a little poster. Please mow my lawn. Put it up at the post office. Person named Jack gets it. Looks at it, says, I can mow a lawn. He comes to your house. Knocks on your door. I want to mow your lawn. You say, can you mow a lawn? Yes. Well, all right. Do you have a mower? No. Well, I guess you can use my mower. You have a weed eater? No. Well, I guess you can use my weed eater. You probably don't have any gas either, do you? No. All right. Well, I'm not going to pay you as much. I'm going to give you $15 to mow all this because you're using my stuff. Sounds good by me. So he gets out there and he cuts your grass. And he uses the weed eater. But he cuts and he misses little strips of grass here and there. He uses the weed eater and makes a nice straight line into a nice wavy curve. Cuts down all your flowers. Trims everything that doesn't need trimmed. Tears it up. Ruins your yard. And then comes and knocks on your door. Done cutting your lawn. And you look at it and you're going, oh my goodness. This is going to take a lot of time and money to fix this. And then he holds his hand out. And you look at him and you're thinking, you cut it, but your heart wasn't in it, buddy. This does not look good. Did he do his job? Yes, he cut the lawn. But is that where his heart's not in cutting lawn. Now, let's say that Mike came over. Ding dong. Mike uses the doorbell. Hello, I'm here to cut your lawn. I see that you need it manicured. Why, yes, I do. Do you have your own lawn? Yes, sir, I have a Mercury 5004T. Okay, Mercury. Do you have a weed eater? Yes, I have a straight shaft with 5mm wire. Okay, all right. When can you get started? Immediately, sir. Okay, good. Have at it. And he goes through the lawn, and all the lines are straight. The lawn is topped off, and it looks like a glowing green carpet laying out in front of your house, about that thick. And everything looks manicured. It's just awesome. And the guy's out there, and he's picking up pieces of paper, and he's has that little blower thing, and he's blowing everything off and sweeping everything up and makes it look nice. And he's looking at it, checking edges and making sure everything's sharp. Why is he so much better than the other guy? Poor Jack. He's clueless. The reason why is because Mike has heart. He has the heart of the owner of the lawn to make it look good. To make it look like it's a wonderful, well-manicured lawn. The reason why David was anointed over his brothers and even the current king is because David had a heart after God. David was a man after God's own heart. The things that God loved, David loved. David had compassion for the people. David stood for what was right and for what was just. And later on, David was tested. He came before Goliath. He saw Goliath cursing God, making fun of God, defiling God. And all of Israel stood back and they saw on the outward a giant man and they were in fear of him. And they're like, I'm not going out there. I'm not messing with him. David just happened to walk up, says, why are y'all letting that God, that Philistine, talk bad about our God? Because he's big. Because he can hurt me. He can cause pain. Severe pain. Last time I checked, nothing hurt worse than pain. He said, he is defiling God. Do you not understand? He is defiling. We've got God on our side. We're fighting for what God wants. This is nothing. His size means nothing. If you won't stand up to him, I will. And he went before Saul, and Saul said, well, what are you going to do? He said, surely God will deliver him into my hands. And Saul said, oh. Saul wasn't even going to go out there. He said, all right. Good luck. And many of y'all know how that story turned out. David goes up to him. He says, you may come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Most High, and he's going to deliver your body to the birds of the air today. Took in a stone into a slingshot, slung it up, hit him between the eyes, knocked him down. David ran over there, grabbed Goliath's sword, and cut off his head. It's hard to come back from a head wound. And all the Philistines knew that had to be God. See, God will put you, once you're anointed, in places you never dreamt you'd be. God will direct you and guide you and protect you. With the anointing comes a responsibility. But those who are anointed have the heart of God. You say, well, Pastor Steve, what is the heart? Galatians 5:22 probably explains it the best. The fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, temperance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. So many times now that many of y'all don't know, maybe, or maybe some of y'all do, I am now an assistant principal at Pasadena High School. And the kids will come into my office for behavioral counseling for whatever misbehavior that they're doing. And I will tell them, you need to get self-control. Now, I don't tell them that that's a fruit of the Spirit. I don't even bring a Bible reference. But I will tell them, you need to exercise self-control. If you got just that one characteristic, it would change your world, self-control. And if we as believers start to apply these things to our life and to our heart, love, unconditional love, joy, joy no matter the circumstance, peace, comfort, peace, even kill, peace. If we have just those three, just those, we're opening our heart up to the anointing of God. And you say, why is that important? The results of the anointing are God's presence, God's guidance, God's protection, God's victories, God's blessings, and God's promises for health, for wealth, for prosperity. Some of you may say, well, what does that mean for me? I'll tell you as I tell everybody. God has a plan and an anointing and a place for every person. He wants to anoint you to a special calling. And why he asked me to prepare this message is sometimes it is a mystery to me. Because I don't really know who the message is for. groups or individuals, or sometimes I do, but usually no. But the anointing is the presence of God within a vessel. This is not the vessel. This is the vessel. The oil is symbolic, and it's an outward expression of an inward experience. God establishing Himself in you, directing you, guiding you through all truth, helping you to have discernment as to what to know, what to do, and when to do it. I think many times we just happen through life. We cannot be doing that as believers. We need to ask God for direction and for discernment. Discerning of spirits, it's one biblically based gift. We need to have that. I can tell you, you go out into this world and you will see there are a lot of different spirits out there. Ooh, Pastor Steve's getting spiritual. Yes, there's spirits out there that are not good spirits. And if you do not have God's anointing, if you are not ready for them, they will make your life miserable. King Saul rejected God's obedience. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, it talks about where Saul missed it, because he had it. He had God's anointing. But what happened was the Philistines were gathering. His army was starting to kind of squander. They were getting afraid, becoming afraid. Saul said, wait there 7 days, then I will come, we will burn the sacrifice and the offering, we'll offer it unto God, and we'll have a great victory. And Saul didn't wait, and he burned it anyway. Burned it anyway. And if you go to chapter 15, verses 22, these are the words that Samuel said. And this is how Saul lost it, and this is where I'm going to end up closing. Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as He does in obedience and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination or witchcraft, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected you from being king. So obtaining the anointing, having the heart of God, God giving you direction into an area that you will be effective, that He has preordained you to do, but then also being obedient. Saul was guilty of giving God an offering too soon, and God rejected him. And you think, well, Pastor Steve, that doesn't make any sense. Yes, it does. Go back to Cain and Abel. Abel gave an offering that God said, give an offering of a slain lamb. The first fruits of your slain lamb. And prepare it this way and do it that way. Cain gave of his garden the best he had and gave it as an offering to God. And God rejected it. Why? He lacked obedience. And here he's saying, I'd rather you be obedient than to give sacrifice. Some of you may say, well, you know, what if I give lots of money to the church and I invest a lot of time and I sing and I do this and I do that. And God will look at you and He'll say, that's nice. Are you obedient to what I'm telling you to do? That's what I require. I take obedience in the heart. I try to the nth degree. And I try to obey my leaders here on this planet. Because I kind of feel like if you're not going to obey the men who you do see, you're probably not going to obey God who you don't see. And so when I'm driving, I click it right on the speed limit. Now in Houston, sometimes the speed limit changes. It depends on how many cars are going, how fast, where they're going. Because if you do the speed limit, you're going to get hit. So I practice safe driving as well. But when I'm just driving, a lot of times I'll just hit the cruise control and the speed limit. Because I want to have a heart of obedience. I want to have a heart after God's own heart. A lover of people, a lover of good, a lover of God. I want to encourage you. Seek the anointing. Keep the anointing. Pray, fast, and listen to the voice of God. Many times we may think, well, why is that important that I pray, fast, seek the anointing, seek the calling that God has for me in my life? It's not really going to matter. The reason why it's going to matter is because Israel, if you look in the Bible many times, I think that the king who was supposed to be anointed king didn't step up to the plate, didn't answer the call. And they ended up getting some pretty bad kings. If the right person doesn't step up to the plate, many times God will allow the wrong person to. He allows it. You think, well, God's not going to let anything bad happen. No. If you allow it, He allows it. Isn't that what God's Word says? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. He kind of sometimes lets us be the get the product of our own destiny. And you know, whatever seeds you plant, that's what you're going to grow up, and that's what you're going to eat. Huge potential. It doesn't require talent, ability, intelligence. It requires heart. A heart. And if you don't step up, the wrong person might. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing, your holy anointing, and your spirit. Bless you, Lord. I bless you. Lord, as we're coming to a close, you're calling people here this morning to a divine calling. And the anointing, we may not have Samuel come and up from the grave and anoint these people with a holy anointing, but your spirit calls, your spirit anoints the comforter. Hmm. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve, I want to have a heart after God's own heart. That's what I desire. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever new. Oh, change my heart, O God. Make it more like You. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Steve, just pray. That's my prayer. That I would have the heart of God. If that's you, just raise your hand. Raise your hand real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I believe that that's where we need to be. And there's some of you, you're running from your calling. You're running from your calling. God's already touched you. Be careful. When Saul ran from his calling, God allowed evil spirits to come and torment him. David came with his harp and he'd play for him so that those evil spirits would leave. I think God was just trying to turn him back. But Saul didn't turn back. Answer that call. Answer that call. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve, I have a prayer request, a need, just raise your hand right now. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer with that as well. You have a need or you want to pray for someone. Anybody here today? All right. And also, if you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm not sure that if I was to die, I'd go to heaven, but I want to be sure. I want to ask for forgiveness of my sins. If that's you today, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together if we could. Say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. The Bible says it. God will honor it. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and my Savior for all my life. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for those who raise their hand who want to have a heart that's after Your heart. And they want to hear from You, Lord, and that they want Your Holy Spirit to anoint them. They're desiring to just grow closer to You, just fall in love with You. And maybe their oil, maybe that anointing's a little old. And they're going to have to change it out. Get that old oil out and allow a new, fresh anointing to sweep over their spirit and into their hearts and out of their hands. So that when they will go with the presence of God into these highways and the byways out in this world. And that people will notice that they have a fresh aroma. That they have the joy of the Lord upon their breath, upon their eyes, upon their spirit and their countenance. And that people will see that they have a heart. A heart of the Lord. And everything they do will be done with beauty and grace. Well manicured. Excellence. I thank You, Lord, for Your love today. And we ask, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit guide and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen.
To worship, You and I are called to love, You and I forgiven and free. With You and I embrace surrender, You and I choose to believe, and You and I will see that we were meant to be. Love for everyone. fellowship. You and I are called to love. You and I are forgiven and free. You and I embrace surrender. You and I choose to believe that you and I will see what we were meant to be.